Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. If you're listening to this at night, I pray that your night is going well too. Today is Saturday. Tomorrow will be Mother's Day, and I just want to wish, if I have any mothers listening to this, happy Mother's Day. You're beautiful. You have an awesome responsibility of raising your children and being faithful in the Lord, and we thank you for that. And of course, Father's Day will be coming up, and I will be thanking the Father. You know, mothers and fathers, it's just a unity, right? It really breaks my heart to see broken marriages. It really does. And kids just kind of torn apart by custody battles and stuff. But marriages, God has to be at the center of a marriage. Heather and I, we've been married for over 20 years now, and when we first got together, God wasn't at the center of our marriage. Satan was. And we went through a lot of challenges. Self-inflicted, of course. Thank God that His grace and mercy healed our marriage. And now He's at the center of it. But to have a successful marriage, you have to have God at the center of it. He has to be the centerpiece. If not, everything else falls apart. And it was just by His grace and mercy that my wife and I are still together, and we were on that path for divorce a while back ago. It might have been 10 years now. It's been a while, but God intervened. And He healed a lot of hurt and wounds. And I digress, of course, just reaching out and just telling you, whatever you may be going through, maybe you are a single mother. This life, man, it gets messy. There is no doubt about it. I used to do counseling, suckler counseling, and go into broken homes, and my heart just hurts when you see a child that don't have a father figure in their life, and they're just so hungry for a male role model. Because that's how God designed a mother and a father. They're different, regardless of how this chaotic world is going out of control, where men can't figure out if they're men, and women can't figure out they're women, and husbands are, you know what I'm talking about. I don't even want to go all into that, but if you know the craziness in this world, and that just adds to the devastation of a child, because we have kicked God out of the traditional marriage. We pretty much have kicked God out of everything here in America. And it breaks my heart to see that. I pray that God, that America wakes up and realize that God is key. The biblical God of the Bible, not the God of this world, which is Satan. It's not until then, when God is placed back into every aspect of our life, starting with our family, starting with our, first our family, right? And then moving into our workplace and our education system and our businesses. I mean, that is true revival. And I am not seeing that kind of revival right now. But that's my opinion. That is what a true revival is. It's something that spreads out from your church to the community to the parish, and here in Louisiana we have parishes, but other states that'd be called counties, from the counties to the state, to the states, to the nation. And I pray that a revival like that will take place one of these days. But if not, the ultimate revival will take place is when Jesus comes back for us. That will be a crazy time. It'll be a beautiful time for at least those that are in Christ, and those that are not, it won't be so great for them. Spiritual warfare. That is what we're going into. That's what we've been going through. If you're just joining this is your first time listening to this podcast, I guess you could call it podcast, audio sermon, audio teaching. We are in part 21. That is part 21 of our spiritual warfare preaching and teaching. Last week, we finished out the Shield of Faith. There's probably four or five sermons in that. We were really concentrating on First Timothy. Was it First Timothy? Let me look. Yes, it was First Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. And we went through all three of that: power, love, and sound mind. Of course, we went into the spirit of fear. And I encourage you guys to check those out. Last week, we looked at having a sound mind, which is very important to have a sound mind. And today, this week, we'll be looking at that helmet of salvation. Our key scripture verse here, it is Ephesians 6 verse 17. Within this passage, there's two pieces of armor. There's the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. We are going to focus on the helmet of salvation. I'm just going to read this scripture, just read it, and we'll pray. And what we're going into is the helmet of salvation in this part for this week, part of our spiritual warfare. This is part 21. So 21 sermons and teachings. It's the longest I've ever done on this. I know I'm debating on because I always include prayer part of spiritual warfare, and I thought about maybe doing a separate series just on prayer. But I may finish it out just on prayer, kind of a general prayer sermon, and then look in doing a prayer series on just specifically about the importance of prayer. Prayer, and I'm going to get off a little bit here. On prayer, we really need to look, how is our prayer lives, right? And that's between you and God. I don't know how much you pray. God knows. But I guarantee you, if it's only 2 or 3 minutes a day, that's not enough prayer. From my perspective, and I'm not boasting, I'm not bragging, I never would. I boast in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray at least 2 to 3 hours a day. Now, I don't keep count. I'm just saying, if you collectively, that's at least a day. Because honestly, I can't make it through the day without having communication with Jesus Christ, and prayer is communication. So that's the most important. Now, you may say, hey, I don't know how will you do that? And that's kind of what I'm thinking about getting into, is you don't have to pray a full 3 hours. You can spread it out. In the mornings, I love praying in the mornings. You can pray 30 minutes and then or whatever God lays on your heart. And then throughout the day, you can block out time. I don't know your work schedule, but you can block out time for prayer. A lot of times when I'm working, I do maintenance. So when I'm working on something, and there's, I'm working on a project that's taking, it may take an hour or two, and I'm doing it by myself. There's nobody around. that's the hour and two I can work on that project. And when I'm doing that, I can actually be praying, and sometimes I'm listening to podcasts, and Bible studies, or what it may be, being attuned with the Holy Spirit. And I don't know how it looks on your part. I don't know your I don't know your routine, but I stay pretty busy. If I can take time to pray at least 3 hours a day, I know that you can. Quit making excuses. I honestly believe if the church would start praying for reals, right, your prayer meetings would be, other than a prayer meeting for social function, but people would actually go to a prayer meeting to pray in a church, truly on their knees for hours, pouring out to God, things would happen within that church. It would happen in their community. But until they do that, it will not. But that's another side note there. But Ephesians 6:17 says, and take the helmet of salvation, right? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just go into your word, Lord, we just lean on what you need me to speak on. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you know who is listening to this. You know their heart. You know what's going on in their lives. I may never meet that person, but you already know who he or she is. Lord, we pray over them right now, wherever they may be going through, the challenges they may be facing. Maybe it is a broken marriage. Maybe they have children that are older now, that's heavy on their hearts, that have their own lives, their own marriages, or their own relationships, their own children. And they really are heavy on our hearts, because we know, we look at their life when we know there's something astray. We may know by their fruits that they are not yours, and that breaks our hearts. I have family members that I cry over, I tear over, I pray for their salvation. You know my heart. We don't want nobody to perish and go to hell, this place of everlasting torment. It rattles me to my core. It brings tears to my eyes when I look at scriptures where you tell us in like Matthew 7, narrows that way. You tell us few will find that leads to that life, and wide, that's the structural path that many will find. And when you tell us there's the days of Noah, so is it as the day of this that you're coming. Oh God, that just rocks me, that rattles me. I know that you know who is yours, and you know who's going to be saved. But Lord, that don't stop us from reaching those that you have placed in our path, to give them the gospel that you have laid on our hearts to speak to them. For you are God and we are not. Let's keep reaching. Even though our hands get slapped, let's keep reaching. We can grab their very ankles and pull them out of their despair, pull them out from their destructional path. Oh, if we could just pull them from the devil's grip. Oh, pull them from the depths of hell. Oh, the crowd when we yank them out. Oh. I won't see nobody go there to this place. It drives me, it fuels me, to everybody I see, to look for those opportunities to tell someone about Jesus. Wherever the cost may be, we should be willing to pay it. This should not cause us anxiety and depression, but this should give us joy and peace. For within your will, within your design, if we're walking according to your will and not our own, you will guide us, you will direct us, you will take care of us. It may not be in the fashion that we are looking for, but you will always take care one way or the other of those that are yours. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Let me get a drink here. My throat's already getting dry. Yeah, I went in mode for about 3 hours this morning or this afternoon. It's hot. It's hot here in Louisiana today. It's, I have a push mower, so it took me about 3 hours of mowing. Man, my throat's kind of parched. But the helmet of salvation. Here in Paul's day, everybody would have knew this was the last piece of armor a soldier would put on. That was his helmet. This helmet was made of bronze and leather. And the importance of it is obvious. It protects the head, prevents maximal damage. When a soldier's in combat and the enemy attacks, maybe with a sword, maybe with a rock or whatever they're using. Now, we think about today, right? And helmets are, we don't really see helmets too much wore around in normal activity. But you can think of sports, right? Now, you may not be big on sports, but when you look at baseball players, you look at football players, you look at hockey players, horse riding, they have protective gear and I don't know if we would consider that a sports, but it could be. I used to watch baseball a long time ago. I used to love watching baseball. I just don't have time to watch it anymore. But one thing what amazed me is the pitchers. A pitcher could throw a baseball, right? And some of them would average to about 100 miles per hour. Just think about a baseball, and you can't get a visual of a baseball. You can Google it, and you'll see it was just a little ball. I used to play it when I was in high school for fun. And there ain't no way I was throwing a 100 mile per hour fastball, but these are professional athletes. They have a strong arm, and they can average 100 miles per hour fastball. Could you imagine a ball going that fast toward you? Right? Without any protection to apply to your head. A ball going that fast could wreck your life, even possibly kill you. Even with a helmet on, that's still going to cause problematic issues. But it limits the maximal damage that could happen without that helmet on. Same thing if you look at people that are riding motorcycles. Now, I know some states don't. I think you don't have to wear a helmet in some states now. I would recommend somebody riding a motorcycle to wear a helmet, because you just think about it, you have a motorcycle that can, go about 60, 70, and it, depending on the motorcycle, maybe it's one of those sports motorcycles that can do over 100. And you're not really got if you look at a motorcycle, there's not much protection. You're driving that fast, and suddenly a deer runs out in front of you, right? And you, I don't know if you did hit the deer, you're going to fly off. And if you don't have no head protection, and you hit that concrete, or you hit a tree, or you hit whatever, you're going to damage your skull, the cranium, and you damage the skull, you crack your skull, which exposes your brain, right? And our brain is very important. Brain or mind, however you want to look at that. And he calls that bleeding your brain, and the next thing you know, it's going to affect your whole body. It's going to affect your whole life. So it's very important to wear that helmet. I don't know if you guys ever watched those ER movies, series, when they're dealing with head trauma, right? And they're rushing that person in that's suffering a critical head trauma. It could have been simply from, you know, a motorcycle accident. And they got to bring that guy or that girl in, and they got to cut the head open, and the skin, and you have the cranium there, and they have to get into the cranium or whatever, and then there's the brain there. And you know, when I was in graduate school, I took a lot of neurobiology classes. Actually, was a TA or RA at a university, and help in dissection in animal brains. I want to tell you, animal brains are pretty fascinating. But I want to tell you what's more fascinating is the human brain. It's amazing. God is the ultimate. If you ever get a chance to study the brain and the functionality of the brain, it's just amazing. Many doctors and brain surgeries, brain surgeons, they will admit they fully don't understand how the brain works today, and they probably never will. And it wasn't meant for them to understand the complexity of God's design. And when we look at the brain, and you can take that brain, you can say brain, you can use mind interchangeably there. Your brain is, you know, has neural transmitters, messenger cells that they're light up left and right, and they're sending messages all through your body. That's your mind. Your mind breaks into thoughts. Your thoughts leads to behavior. And I want to tell you, very important, Satan understands the biology and the psychology of humans. And he knows if he can't influence your thoughts, he presents temptations around you. And if he knows that he can influence your thought when he presents that temptation to you, getting you to think about it, and then he knows if you start thinking about it and you start focusing on it, guess what? Your body will react. You will act on it. Francis Schaeffer said this: the spiritual battle, the loss of victory, is always in the thought world. Just, if you're taking notes, just write that down. The spiritual battle, and we're in the spiritual warfare series, the loss of victory is always in the thought world. Guard our minds, right? How do we guard our minds? This helmet of salvation. We put this helmet of salvation on. We're putting Jesus on. Now I want to tell you today, if you have not accepted Christ as the centerpiece of your life, I want to tell you, do not put this off. We look at salvation as a complex process, but it really is not. We make it complicated. You hear people say many times, it's complicated. It's because we make it complicated. We don't want to give something up. It really boils down that we don't want to give something up. We want to hold on to something that is bringing us down. In order to walk in light, we have to get rid of the darkness. And salvation in its entirety, you know, and you guys have heard me preach on salvation, and I will preach on salvation till the day they lay me in the ground and I go see my Jesus. But John 3:16, one of the most popular passages that most people all have memorized. But here's the thing, we don't stop with John 3:16. We read John 17 and John 18 and John 19 and John 20 or John 3:20. We read them verses down, and let's read that in John 3:16. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now when we look at believe here in John 3:16, believe just simply means is faith, is trust. I am going to trust in him. I am going to trust in his word. So every time you see believe here, just think of trust. Think of I am going to trust in him with everything I got. And here in verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Verse 18 says, he that believe, that is he that trusts, that he that has faith on him is not condemned, but he that believe not is condemned already, because he has not believed, right? He has not trust in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I want to tell you the first part of what salvation is to believe that God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. Yes, a virgin that did not have sex with no man. The Holy Spirit placed Jesus in her womb. She did not have sex to conceive Jesus. No. Oh, I will mention sex. Why don't preachers be bold and speak at it? I will tell you, if this world today and Satan within the education system are teaching our kids all the wrong stuff about sex. They're teaching our kids how it's okay if you're confused about your gender, what God has placed you to be. You are male or female. No, there's not four different genders. No, there's not six different genders. No, there's not 10, 20, 30, 40. God said, I created woman and man. He created male and female. There is no other gender except two. Why are preachers standing and preaching like this? For they fear they may lose their platform. Oh, I will lose every platform in this world if I have to. If it's from preaching the word of God, they don't want to hear it, I will preach it anyway. God created them male and female. There is not no more genders than that. Can I, if here I would say, can I get an amen? But a virgin, Mary, supernaturally, Holy Spirit placed Jesus Christ, God placed Jesus Christ in her womb. I'm not going to pretend how I understand that. I'm merely a flawed human being with a mind that is nowhere near as great as the mind of God. For His ways are higher than ours, and we try to explain and we try to do our best, but we will fail short every time trying to understand God's power and how Mary became pregnant. It could be simply He spoke it. Why couldn't He just spoke it? He spoke this whole world into existence. 6 days, He spoke it. He speaks, it happens. That's how powerful our God is. And Mary became pregnant with Jesus Christ, right? The Son of God. Prophesied hundreds and hundreds of times in the Old Testament. John the Baptist, when he seen Jesus coming, he looked and said, "Here's the Lamb of God. Here's the Lamb." He's pointing to the Old Testament, guys, because he knew that Lamb, that physical Lamb, that sacrificial Lamb that they were using, it was only a Band-Aid. It was only something they had to use until this point in time. When Jesus Christ came, He was going to be that Lamb of God. He was going to be the true Lamb with no sin, no blemish, blameless. I want to tell you today, if you hear a preacher that is trying to say that our Jesus, He has sin, and our Jesus was blame. He had sin. He was at fault. He had blame. There, He committed sin. I'm going to tell you today, take the blinders off. Turn that preacher's sermon off. Quit sending that heretic money. Amazing. Most of them don't even want to talk about sin. Why would you support that? Other than you want to be part of the satanic movement. The Antichrist movement against God. Because we know that sin's in the Bible. And we know our God's going to judge it. But we're going to tell you today, that blood that was shed on that cross, the atonement for our sins. Our Jesus Christ had to die for you and me. So there is no condemnation in Christ. Verse 19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because why? Their deeds were evil. Their deeds were evil. Our deeds are evil. We will migrate to the darkness every time." Verse 20 says, "For everyone that do evil hate the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved," meaning unless the Holy Spirit rocks your world. Verse 21 said, "But he that do true comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God," meaning they are from God. There is light and there is darkness. And we've talked about the light and we've talked about the darkness. And Jesus is light and Satan is darkness. And the light of Jesus Christ was to come into your life. But you have to recognize you have sin in your life. For Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death," right? And it is death. "But the gift of God is everlasting life. And for we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We need a Savior. We need an atonement. We need the blood from the cross. We need Jesus Christ in our life. And when we come and we recognize that we need a Savior, we need to be rescued. We recognize the crucifixion. And we know that He was laid in that grave. We do not doubt. We have faith. We trust His word. And we know that He rose from the grave that third day. And we know that He's coming back for us one day. Oh, what glorious day that will be. But when we put it all together, this is a transformation. This is a what we call a sanctification, meaning our life is no longer the same. We are different. We are changed. Our sin and our life don't define us. It leads us to repentance. It leads us to godly sorrow. Oh, are you feeling that godly sorrow today? Or do you just want to live in your sin? Oh, do you want to look like this world? Do you want to conform to this world? You want to be just like this world, then the truth is not in you, and you are the father of your devil, Satan. Oh, you can't serve two masters. A lot of people are clinging to that. But you can't. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters. For neither he will hate the one and love the other. Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I want to tell you today, there's many today that think they can straddle that fence. Oh, is this, I can straddle it. Oh, work's different than Sunday. I want to tell you, it's only different because you have distorted God's word. God's word is clear. We do not serve two masters. We can glorify Him in our work. We can glorify Him when we're at the supermarket. We can glorify Him as we're walking our dog down the street. We can glorify Him when we're pumping gas. Oh, we can glorify Him. Oh, His name is holy. His name is praised. Oh, that light should just radiate so far from us, that in us and to others, that it lights them on fire. It lights them up. Oh, darkness will flee light every time, but those that are truly looking for light, they will migrate to you, because why? The light of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit that has came into your life because you truly accepted Christ into your heart. You truly trust and believe His word. You know His word is fact, is not fiction. You know His word is truth, and the only truth that will matter is the word of God, is absolute truth. It's more important than any truth that this world can give you. Is the foundation of what we should lay our faith in, is to read His word and to believe and to continue walking according to the scriptures. Are you? See, when we do this, our mind is transformed. Right? Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be proved that which is that is good and acceptable and perfect in the will of God. This transforming, the renewing of your mind, is only when you're in God's will. And you're in God's will, we have recognized you don't want nothing to do with this world. Carnality has ripped into our churches. Is a cancer slowly eating at the bones of our churches? 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds. I want to tell you, do you have strongholds in your life right now? I'll tell you, Satan, all he needs is a little crack. A little. He don't need much. You may think what you're doing right now is not that bad. It could be simply looking as a man, and it's getting summertime, and women just say, here, it's... where I work, they strip down to hardly nothing. And I heard men say, and I've heard men that they're supposedly be churchgoers. There's nothing wrong with looking. I will tell you, there is something wrong with looking. Because Jesus said, even if you look upon a woman with lust, you commit adultery. And can take that fornication, depending if you're married or not married. We don't look. We don't lust. God speaks against that. It is a sin. Carnality in our churches. Majority of churches might be okay with that. The pastors of their preaching may be okay with that. I know the mega churches, some I keep track of because I always like to see what the devil's up to. They say it's okay to look. They even say it's okay to look at pornography. You're not hurting nobody. Yes, you are. You're hurting yourself. The strongholds. You may think a little anger ain't nothing, but anger can be destructive. That little tongue in our mouth is an unruly member. It can speak life, it can speak death. Oh, we should talk less and pray more. Do you talk less and pray more? Oh, prayer is so important in our life. That should be our cry. We should talk less and pray more. And when we do that, we're centering on what God needs us to say, not on what Jonathan Ritter says. He can get in the flesh. He can get his tongue all rattling out of control because why? I can get carnal. But I want to tell you is when I take that carnality and I nail it to where it belongs with the help of the Holy Spirit. I nail it to the cross and I press on. For we nailing those things to the cross, that's not a one time thing. We crucify ourselves daily. Paul said, I die daily. Why? Because he knew every day there was challenges that he had to face. Every day there's challenges that you will have to face. Every day there will be challenges that I will have to face. Oh, we need to nail them to the cross. We need to die daily. We need to be crucified daily. We need to live that crucified life daily. Are you? 2 Corinthians 5 says, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says, casting down imaginations, every high thing exalted itself against what? Against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to obedience of Christ. A lot going on here, but I want to tell you, we cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God, the Word of God. See, the Word of God is our ultimate guideline, right? We should be students of God's Word, and Lord willing, we'll look at that piece of the armor next week or a week after that, depending on everything. But the Word of God, the knowledge of God, through His Word, through the Holy Spirit that indwells us, through having a strong prayer life. When we do this, we can do what? That last part. We can bring into captive every thought. Every thought that is placed in our minds, we can put it, we can take captivity of it. Why? Because we are in tune with the Holy Spirit in our life. And when we're in tune with the Holy Spirit in our life, we will seek obedience in Christ, and we will seek His direction on every matter. It blows my mind when I ask somebody when they do something, how did he pray over it? Did he really pray over it? I'm not talking about a 2-3 minute prayer. I'm talking about, have you spent hours on your knees or wherever you're at, travailing over it, crying over it, ripping the altar and praying, Jesus, I need your direction, and constantly doing that, pressing on, persevering, saying, Lord, I need you to show me. I need you to guide me. I need you to direct me. Holy Spirit, follow me. Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, direct me. Oh, I pray for your guidance. Or is it, oh, Lord, I don't really know where you're taking me, but your will be done. Amen. Oh, Your prayer life is in shambles. You seek your will more than God. You may already had your decision already made. You just had to say a few minute prayer to just, you know, say, hey, I did pray on it. I like to follow that. How long did you pray? Then they start getting that look in their eyes like, I can't believe he just asked me that. He really knows what's going on. No, Jesus really knows what's going on. And that's the one you should be concerned about. He just sends messengers like me to rattle you. And you don't like it. And you get mad. And you want to think all kind of evil against us. But it's alright. They did the same thing with Jesus. He was for real. He hit them right where it hurts. He didn't back down from nothing. They didn't crucify people for being good citizens. They crucified. If you look at crucifixion was designed for the worst of the worst. And we know that Jesus didn't do nothing, deserve that punishment. So speak truth. And they hated him that much to crucify him. Don't think they will not hate true messengers of God. Even those professing to know Jesus, they will not like to hear the truth. They'd rather hear one of those pammy, spineless preachers on TBN like Joel Osteen, Steve Furtick, Joyce Meyer, Beth Moore, John Hagee. These spineless preachers that are worth millions. Todd White, Todd Bell. My Lord, I can keep on going on. Rick Warren. Brian Houston. That's where we're at here in America. They want to hear these spineless preachers. Annie Stanley. And we wonder why America is in such a bad shape it is. They have... kick God out, injected a false gospel, a false salvation, and we wonder what's going on. We wonder why it's going to get worse here in America. I promise you why. Because we keep fueling these false men that profess to know God and they know nothing, and guess what? Their people are listening to them, are indulging them, enjoying them, and we only can conclude they're just like them. Because if they would pick up God's word, we are in a social media day. There is no reason for them to be in deception. They know, they hear preachers like me preach, and they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear the carnality, how it has infected our churches, how we desire to feed that fleshly desires. Instead of denying them, denying ourselves, picking up a cross and following Jesus every day. They don't want to hear that stuff. Not yet. I pray one day a true revival will break out and they will want to hear that. If not, Jesus is coming back, so. And when he comes back, game over. They choose to reject true messages and accept false ones, the false gospel, the false salvation. See, when we put the helmet of salvation on, we recognize this world, we don't want nothing to do with it. We do not conform to this world. We do not blend into this world. We are called to be different. We are called to walk in the Spirit, right? Galatians 5:16-25 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Oh, can you say the lust of the flesh? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. That ye would. Did we get that? Ye would. See, there is that. This today, we are all about how God can cater to us. We treat Him like a genie in a bottle. We want to get our three wishes. It's all about me, 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 myself. But when you start talking about denying yourself, right? Walking in the Spirit and less in the flesh. People don't want to hear that. Verse 18 says, "But be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law." Now the works of the flesh are this, and they really don't like this when you start naming off specific sin, because you're touching into their fun base, you're touching into their carnality: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reviling, and such that of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not, you will not inherit the kingdom of God, meaning you will not go to heaven. And verse 22, this is what we're supposed to be striving for, is the fruit of the Spirit. That is love, that is joy, that is peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And verse 24 said, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and the lusts." And if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Are you crucifying your flesh? Is this message getting under your flesh? It may be. Good chance it probably is. If it's convicting you, praise Jesus, you're a child of God. It may be mad you turning this off. Well, then you clued out. You're not going to listen anymore to this crazy preacher, man. Guess what? You're out. You decided to tune this out. God is giving you opportunity, and you rejected it. He'll give you more opportunities. That's just a beautiful God that we serve. His grace and mercy endures forever, right? He doesn't want nobody to perish. He offers salvation to all. But when we come to Christ and we truly look at the birth, His death, His crucifixion, His resurrection, all this equals a transformation. This is a sanctification, meaning we start becoming, we seek to become more like Him. The sanctification process is not separate. It is part of it. We seek to be His. We seek to be more like Him. Yes, we will struggle. We will have struggles. Jonathan Ritter still has struggles. Your preacher up preaching, or teacher that's been doing this for a long time, or somebody that's been walking with God for 20 to 30, 40 years, and they will tell you, if they truly are going to be honest, there will always be struggles. But we don't have to do this alone. When we cast down our imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing captivity every thought to obedience of Christ, when we bring our thoughts to obedience to Christ, and we do that through the Holy Spirit, right? The devil can't do nothing with that. He can't. All he can do is recollect his toys up and restructure another temptation tomorrow or the next day or a week from now or, you know, a month from now to hit you with. But if you are recognizing, you are studying as you should, you're seeking to be in His will, scriptures are part of your life, living a life holy and righteous to God. This transforms our mind, this renews our mind, and this is putting the helmet of salvation on. And I pray that you are doing this. In closing, Spiritual Warfare, Part 21, Helmet of Salvation. Think of that quote that I gave earlier today, right, you know, at the beginning of this message. The spiritual battle, the loss of victory, is always in the thought world. See, our thoughts gives away to our actions. And when we get this, we start understanding that we don't have to fall for the temptations that Satan places in front of us. And we talked about, you know, Adam and Eve, and I mean, you can see that. That whole thought lead to action, right? What happened? Eve looks. Well, she entertains. She goes in conversation with Satan, which she shouldn't have done that. We should never entertain him. He doesn't deserve our conversation. And we talked about that. But she goes in conversation. And then what happens? He puts a temptation there. And what happens? She sees and she starts thinking about it. And she's thinking about it. And she's then they're interacting with another question. She's thinking about it and thinking about it. And then guess what happens? She grabs the fruit. She takes. She bites into it. And then she gives it to Adam, who is right there. And he bites in. And guess what? Sin comes into this world. The fall of humanity. The battlefield in our minds. When we encounter things in our life, how do you respond to it? To the things that are very challenging things in our life, how do you respond to it? Do you go to your prayer room, your warrior room, and start praying over it? If it's at work, you can't do that, but at work, what I have found in crisis points, you can pray silently in your mind when something hits that rattles you. Of course, that's not the only time I pray, right? You know, morning prayers, afternoon prayers, night prayers, and all between prayers throughout the day. But if I can't get isolated, I mean, I can't separate myself from a situation that's happening at work, I can mentally check out and go to prayer, still being present. And I know that might not make much sense, and maybe it does, And when I do that, there's that peace. The peace that Jesus gives me. It's the joy that Jesus gives me. And it don't mean I get everything right every time. But I promise you, I'm getting more things right than I used to be because of trial and error and because of the grace and mercy of God. But what I'm trying to get at are thoughts. So if something happens, immediately thoughts start racing to your mind. How do you encounter that? First, if you can separate yourself from that situation, I encourage you to do that. Get in that alone time with Jesus before you react by saying something or doing something that's counter to how you're supposed to be living your life. See, we can quickly get in the flesh. We still have flesh we have to contend with. Something happens and we just, and I'm speaking personally, I want to react. You know that fight and flight response? I'm a fighter. I want to immediately fight. I'm like Peter when he chops the guy's ear off and he's aiming for his head, some commentaries believe. But I'm a fighter. Like David, that's not always the best approach. I'm learning a lot better than I used to be. God's still working on me, so keep me in your prayers. But when I have those racing thoughts, one thing I try to do is I try to memorize a lot of scriptures. So when something like that comes, that specific situation, I can quote scriptures silently in my head over and over and over. Over and over. I can do that even when I'm talking to somebody. I can see when you start doing that, you start getting a better control because of Jesus, right? Of how you react and respond to situations around you. It could be family, right? You move from work to family, dealing with family members that are challenging, that won't take advantage of you. They only come around when they need something, right? It could be a friend. It could be a number of things. You could be driving on the road and you have a flat tire and then you realize your whole day's or part of your day is not going to turn out the way you had it planned. Then you have to reflect, well, it's not how I have had it planned, and the thoughts start racing, right? Flat tire, gonna be, if you're going to work, gonna be late for work, wherever it is. But you take that thought and you put it into captivity to Jesus. And if you're a child of God, you have that helmet of salvation on you, and you can do that. The Holy Spirit empowers you to take that captive thought captive and place it on the obedience of Jesus Christ. But you have to realize that if you're there trying to serve two masters, like Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. Either you hate the one, love the other, or as he holds to one, despises the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, right? Or you're holding on to your carnality more than Jesus Christ, you ain't gonna be able to do this. So where are you at? Are you trying to straddle that fence? Are you trying to serve two masters? Are you double-minded? Meaning on Sunday, you're a different person than you're on Monday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, nobody will recognize you from a church service because now you're out of church. Now you can act any way you want to. You can talk any way you want to. You can cheat, steal, kill. Well, I hope not kill, but I'm so stuck on that I was thinking of John 10:10. The thief kills. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Well, God is going to give us God has given us life and give us life more abundantly, or everlasting life. But what I'm getting at, you blend into this world, you conform to this world, you think you can play both sides and be okay with that. You don't seek to reach those around you at work or at school or wherever you're at, or your family. You believe you can separate the two and be okay. Well, show me a scripture in the Bible where Jesus says that's okay. You won't. You're creating your own doctrine. You're catering, you're conforming to your own, I guess, to create a peace of mind. And I'm here to tell you that is not correct, because God's word says otherwise. And when you're operating that way, then you will not have the helmet of salvation in your mind. And every thought that comes into your head, you will not be able to take it captive. It will own you and it will ruin you. And I pray that you're not like that. I pray that you are able to know that you're not supposed to conform to this world. And you're supposed to be different. And you're not supposed to blend in this world. And you know this is a spiritual battle. And you will lose victory if you cater to your carnality, to your double-mindedness. And I pray that you are not like that. And if you are, this sermon, this teaching, kind of brought it to your attention to stop that. Stand firm. Be a light. As time draws closer to the coming of our Jesus Christ, this world will get worse. I promise you. America is on the brink of so much chaos that when you look around at your average person that professing and know Jesus, they're oblivious to it. They think this is bad, but they ain't seen nothing yet. I don't say that to scare anybody. I say that because within our thought world, if we are centering our life truly on Jesus Christ, when times really get bad, we will have peace and we will have joy and we will keep pressing on. And I pray that you keep pressing on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to get into your word. God, you know those that are going to listen to this. I pray over their lives. I pray whatever's going on in their life, Lord, I pray if they are trying to straddle that fence, that they step on the right side of the fence. The right side of the fence. The right side that is your side, Jesus. Where they say, I have fully committed my life and there's no looking back. I want to be a light to this world regardless of what it may cost me. I have chose to get rid of the carnality of my life that I have allowed to infect my very being and my family, into my businesses, into my church. God, I pray, Lord, that those that hear this, it rattles them, it rocks them, that they go to the scripture and they look for themselves. Maybe they want to try to prove this preacher man wrong, and they can. If I misspeak, I can, because I am human. But it better be through God's word, because that won't fly. Your word is the standard. You have called us to obey, to trust you, to walk into the light. You call us out of our carnality. You call us to walk a life that is in tune with you. When you look at the Gospels, you can't come out no other way but with that message. Lord, create us to be in tune with the Holy Spirit and what He has in our life. Those that they're hearing this and they just don't really never heard a message like this. They're just struggling. God, Lord, I pray that they continue to listen to, I have a ton of salvation messages on here, specifically on salvation, that breaks down salvation, the true, by scripture, what salvation is, not the watered down, progressive garbage that is being spread in the majority of American churches today as the gospel, know the true gospel through your word. Talking about sin, talking about hell, talking about heaven. Hell's still hot, heaven's still good, and sin, our love for sin, more than God will send us straight. You will honor our decision if we love our sin more than you. You will honor that decision for those to go to this place of everlasting torment. But those that recognize their sin, they're not okay with it. Those that recognize that you have called us to live a life separate from it, to keep pressing on. Oh, we won't get it perfect every time, but we have a desire to keep on going, to keep on pressing. We're bold for you, and we're not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of the message that you have, Lord. Well, I pray that the Spirit just falls upon us to be more bold. I pray as times get tougher here in America and in other nations, it's already been rough for them, as the persecution falls in America on your true children of God, that you give us strength to keep on pressing on when we're losing everything, that we recognize everything that we lose in this world don't mean nothing. It doesn't mean nothing. It's just material. It's waste. Moth and rust will rust it. Our treasure is so more imperishable, meaning it won't perish, meaning as we walk into this world and we're proclaiming your truth, your gospel, we know that we, when we die, that our treasures are in heaven, and what you have for us is beyond what we can imagine. Oh, take everything away. Lord, keep Jesus. Keep him at the centerpiece of our life. Lord, we will keep pressing on and we'll keep pushing on, even though this world will look down on us and those professing to know Jesus will look down on us because they have distorted the gospel and they will look down on us. We stand firm in God's word and we speak bold his word through scripture, and we stand as Noah did in those days, as he preached righteousness to the world, and millions would have heard it, as some scholars would say, and millions rejected it. And when the rain came, and all that judgment of God came, and the ark was closed, there was only 8 in that big boat, and the rest were screaming and clawing at the ark as they screamed, "Save us!" But that time they had their opportunity, their window to come, but they kept rejecting, they kept denying, they kept living their way, they kept living their truth, thinking their truth was the only truth. But I want to tell you, there is only truth, and that truth is in Jesus Christ. For you tell us you are the way, you are the truth, and you're the life, and no one comes to you except through the Father. You are the bridge to the Father, to the cross that you died for our sins, the blood that was shed to be that perfect lamb, the resurrection and that sanctification process of us being more like you. We accept it. We accept the cost. We deny ourselves daily. We crucify that flesh daily. We don't want to be carnal. Oh, we don't want to be unstable in our own ways. We don't want to serve this world. We're our battle cries, "Give us Jesus. Give us nothing." Oh, how I pray that the church would start, as that being their battle cry, oh, how I pray the church will start truly having prayer meetings for hours and hours. There is travail and crying and outreach to the community. Oh, I pray that our hands and feet go to the community and knock on the doors and see what we can do for them. Oh, how we stay so busy. We don't know our community. Oh, how Sunday morning is just so sad that we go and then we go, but then the rest of the week we leave that person there at the altar and we don't carry him throughout the day. Oh, how we need to be bold for your name and bold in your stand, Lord, that we carry Jesus from Sunday all the way to Saturday. We proclaim his name. We reach those. We pray, Lord, give us somebody to reach. Oh God, give us another soul to reach. Give us another soul to snatch from Satan's hand, the demonic arms Satan that has gripped on this nation, on the children, all our children, how they're being indoctrinated, how they're telling them how they're telling them it's okay if they think they're a boy, if they're a girl or a girl, a boy. The assault on our family, on masculinity, on femininity. Oh, a man is a man and a woman is a woman. And we need to recognize there's a difference because you have God. And there's beauty within that. And there's beauty in that unity that you created in marriage. And oh, how they're defiling that right before our eyes. They're defiling that and they're thumbing their nose up to you, Jesus. And they're laughing, but in the end, you will have the final laugh. For sin, you will come and judge. For now you called us to stand for truth, to call them out for what they are doing, calling out them for their sin. A nation that sins, as in the nation that we're living here in America, will fall if it truly don't turn back to God. God, I pray, Lord, you create in us a fire in our souls. A fire that spreads from the local churches to the communities. To the communities, to our state. To our state, to our other states. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Love you guys. As always, you can reach out to me through this website. You can reach out through me through Facebook if you try to reach through Facebook with me. I get friend requests, guys, but if you don't reference this website out, I'm not going to add you to my friend request. I'm very careful who I put on my Facebook friends. It's just how it is. I do have a Twitter account, but I don't really visit it often, and an Instagram account. The best way to probably reach me is through this website. And if you do send me an email through this website, please, in the subject title, you put Wake Up America Church Ministries on there, and question if you have one or whatever you may have. And those that do have my personal phone number, you definitely, y'all do call or text. So, you know, I'm available that way. I don't give everybody my phone number. So, only people I trust and know that are truly on fire for God, that I provide through this, you know, that they have my phone. You guys have my phone. Let me know who I'm talking to, because y'all listen and to this podcast weekly, and you follow this ministry. And I thank you for that so much. It's a small ministry, but in God's eyes, it's a big one. You know, my motto is if it only reaches one person, that's all that matters. And I know it has reached more than one person, and I praise Jesus for that. I praise His holy name for that. Of course, if you guys have any questions, once again, we can reach out through me through this website. If you have a personal phone number, you can text me, or you can reach out to me through Facebook. So y'all have a good rest of your day or your night. Pray that your Mother's Day's tomorrow. So all my mothers out there, happy Mother's Day. May God be with you, bless you. Thank you for truly being a godly woman and a godly mother to your child or children. Y'all have a blessed rest of your night and day. Bye.